Here we go in 3, 2, and then 1. Time now in our pregame show to visit with Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers, to listen to you and Brendan Alt in the postgame on Saturday that you left points out there, and then you look at some of those offensive numbers that you were able to get. Some of those numbers were just flat-out eye-popping. The one to me, 84 plays, and it didn't really look like you were in a hurry. How do you do that?
Well, it starts with the offensive staff. I think Coach Pike does a really good job just understanding, putting pressure on teams. So we do it a little bit differently. We'll do trade shift motions where we can still win the time of possession, but yet be able to rattle off plays. So constantly stressing people is a big part, because it just, it wears on teams as you go. So yeah, they executed. We did some check with me stuff, and obviously Brandon got in the zone and got rolling pretty well there and midway through the first quarter. So it was fun to watch those guys, and you know, we weren't, you know, turned the ball over in the red zone once. We had on their opportunity, so just got to finish some drives. And you know, fourth quarter we kind of stalled out a little bit trying to get out of there clockwise. But you know, the dreaded 24-point lead right now for the Beavers, we need to put nail in coffins and finish games. So that's going to be a point of emphasis for us moving forward.
In a span of 8 drives, you scored 5 touchdowns, which is going to win you a lot of games. Those 8 total drives didn't even take up 14 minutes of clock. How can you be at tempo yet and still eat up more clock helping out your defense down the stretch?
You know what? I think maybe we're a little bit different in years past. It kind of goes back to like when Bagnell was here. Just fact is that we're going to probably play more snaps on defense. It's just the way it's going to work. You know, you got to go out, and I think the point of football and sport is to have more points than the other team. So if we win 49-42, even though it'd be gut wrenching because I'm a defensive guy, winning is finding a way to win, and you got to obviously look at what you're really good at. We're really good at skill and throwing the ball around the yard right now, and so we got to continue to utilize that, in my opinion, and get our best players on the field.
You had a lot of success on Saturday from that slot/tight end guy. I remember there have been years where the Beavers didn't even have a tight end listed on the roster. How has that position evolved? How is that position in particular with this offense important?
Well, it's a matchup issue, because you can steal a gap back into the box and still use Duffy and Wheeler and those type of bodies where, you know, 6'3", 240-pound kids are pretty precious that can run. Duffy's just an extraordinarily good athlete. I think he'll play receiver and start out there for us as well. So yeah, I mean, it's a mismatch. You're going to get those guys on safeties and in linebackers a lot. So create some bonus fits in the run game, and yet you still can get some isolation on those guys. So it's nice. It was really nice to see Bubba Peters step up in replacement of Malik, and be fun to hopefully get both those cats out on the field and have Dell and Duffy and those, you know, Bolio, obviously. There's a lot of good talent on the offensive side of the ball.
You got a lot of 6'2", 200-pound type body types in your receiver group. Everybody wants that kind of guy, but that kind of guy doesn't grow on trees. You do a lot of your recruiting on film. How do you weigh physical attributes, size, weight, speed, with athletic ability, and try to balance the two?
That's an interesting question, because that's the age-old question. Like, you can have guys that are 5'8", you know, slasher type of guys. And for our offense, we always look for taller outside receivers and those slasher type inside guys. And it's worked out well for us over the years, where we've had, you know, Brady Schmitz and Juwan Richard type guys. Manny Kugma was phenomenal at, you know, playing that spot as well. And then Malik and now Bryce, and you know, even some of the younger guys in the program kind of fit that model. So it's hard to find those big outside guys. They're a pretty precious commodity. So we hopefully can continue. I think you'll see the emergence of Jake Hill in that realm to another, you know, guy that can go up and get it. But certainly Dell and Bolio have been blowing it up out there and making some tough catches in space.
Bolio at 6'3 and 210 pounds is a matchup nightmare. His leaping ability takes it to another level, though, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I mean, he's just got a massive catch radius, which is nice. And obviously he's playing football with Brandon Alt for seemingly forever, you know, 10 years-ish, you know, probably more than that if you go back to their youth level. But they got a good timing. They got good rapport. And yeah, I thought Dell had a really nice game timing-wise, too, was going up and getting it. So, yeah, there's a lot of matchups, and then you throw a 6'4", 235-pound tight end that can go up and get it like a receiver, too. That's it's a nightmare. I knew it was a nightmare for myself going through spring and fall practices. I'm glad that it's a nightmare for somebody else now.
More with Coach Bolte when we return. Our pregame continues here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Brent Bolte. Malik Williams didn't play a whole lot last week. Saw a bunch of other guys hobbling around after the game. Overall, how is your health?
You know, we're a little bit banged up. I think everybody with football, it's the nature of the beast. So I feel oddly that we're getting guys back. We kind of had a rough span in fall camp, and for various different reasons, guys were out last weekend. So we were shuffling guys on defense. There's a lot of guys playing new spots, and you know, we had four or five guys either not play or out of it. So we should be able to get a lot of those guys back. But yeah, you know, I've always said man down, man up. So just another opportunity to show off your depth, which we've been talking about here. And a lot of new faces, but yet they're recruited here to handle their business. They're all good football players.
Did you like the improvements week one to week two in special teams?
Yes, I thought Mason Hofer was great. His punting was much better. I think he's just getting more confident getting out there. So he did a nice job. Our coverage on kickoff was great. Obviously knocking through our extra points and field goals, and just operationally, I don't hold my breath. A couple other years we were holding our breath with snapping or holding and this and that. So I thought Simon McGath did a great job holding. Aaron Castillo has done a nice job snapping. So thus far, been pretty happy with those guys.
Turnovers happen in a lot of different ways. You guys have forced a lot so far. Has there been one reason why?
I think it's just the getting wind-up toys on defense, fly to the ball, and be physical at the point of attack. So that was probably the frustrating part. We felt like maybe left three, four opportunities on the field where we had them. You know, Jake West was, I don't know if that was an interception or not. It was really, really close with him over the middle in the first half. Crazy thing is they got points, I think, off all those when we had the ball on the ground or had it in our hands. So we got to do a better job or just continue to work on that. But you just got to be on the right side of the ledger. I mean, we still are plus, I think, four for the year. That's a huge part of winning football games because you're stealing possession. So we work on it all the time. We do turnover circuits. We do all that type of thing. And it's just, you got to stress it. It just doesn't show up on Saturdays just like anything else. You got to practice it.
On to Minnesota State, they've played two quarterbacks. They've had three running backs see action. Only a handful of wide receivers have seen catches. Their tight ends only have three catches. Where's their offense coming from?
I mean, Mankato wants to be Mankato. They want to ground and pound you. That's what they're known for. They got a lot of returning big bodies up front. They're just a big physical team. This year, it's probably a little bit different. They just fallen behind where they probably had to throw the ball around a little bit more or not necessarily be able to stick in within their offensive scheme. So in their perfect world, they'll eat the clock and hammer you in the face and run the ball and play action and take the shots when they want to. So we got to dictate that and try to have the ability to, you know, step up and get a lead. I think that's huge. I think both Northern State and Duluth were able to do that. Not an easy task because they're good on defense as well. But yeah, I think that's their mindset, and both quarterbacks are mobile. And they have a really good stable of backs, so they're a good football team, man. Like they're good and well coached, like I said before. So it's going to be a dogfight.
Their defense doesn't have anybody with stats that are jumping off the sheet at me. What are you seeing about their defense?
A little bit more blitz oriented, which is probably the first time in a long time that I've seen that out of them. And I don't know if it's just a philosophical change. You know, last few years they're just able to line up and kind of maul you up front. They're really, really good on the D line. They had good skill players too, don't get me wrong, but they're good. They're talented. I think they're just trying to get their identity on D, and you know, they have to be able to play in unison with their O. Like when their O is out there, you know, eating up the clock and pounding teams, you know, teams are trying to conversely try to get their defenses rest and maybe weren't as aggressive. So they, you know, unfortunately for them, they've gotten or given up some plays or some things went wrong for them where they maybe felt like they had to be aggressive, but they're still really good. They're, you know, just trying to find their identity thing right now.
How has their past and their playoff success helped the NSIC get better?
I think them and Duluth, obviously Duluth winning the championships and, you know, Mankato, you know, being the team that's making the deepest playoff runs the last handful of years is tremendously helped us. It puts you on the map in the top 25 right off the get-go of the season. You know, it's great for us to have teams go deep because you have more opportunities. So if you're in the top two or three in the NSIC, you feel pretty confident that they have a chance to make the national playoffs, even at an 8-3 record. 9-2, you're almost guaranteed. Obviously, better than that, you're probably in. So, just depends on how everything else shakes out. But certainly, they've done a wonderful job recruiting, and it's helped us, you know, be on the map, and, you know, I think create one of the better overall leagues in Division II.
Going into the season, you knew this was a tough first month of the season. Do your goals, expectations, wishes, dreams, whatever, change when you start 2-0?
No, it's still the same thing. I think our guys, it's just got to be the process of being 1-0 in each week. And it starts with daily practice habits of, you know, being accountable and doing things the right way, which we got to clean up. I think that's the one disappointing fact last weekend. We just had a lot of procedural stuff where, you know, we jumped off sides 4 or 5 times, which is ridiculous. And, yeah, we had some just stupid plays of, you know, personal fouls of guys coming off the bench and stuff like that. It's like, guys act like we've been here before. I get it. We've had a little bit of layoff, but understand what we do here at BSU, and that's something that we need to get better at and not give up free yards. And, you know, end of the game, you know, we had two, you know, hands to the face, you know, penalties that continue drives. One, which is whatever I can disagree or agree with, at a pretty big time where we had a 4th down stop. Our guys were off the field. They asked me if I wanted to decline it. I'm like, yeah, I want to decline it. And then all of a sudden we're back on D. I was like, hey, what just happened? But you kind of got to roll the punches. You're going to have penalties, but I think you're going to have 5 or 6 each week. You just can't be the ones that are self-inflicted or so easy to call. Like, offsides is ridiculous, or procedure on offense. So that's what we got to continue to do. But getting back to your point, yeah, you know, being 2-0 just sets you up for opportunity to be 3-0, you know, and that's really what you got to worry about. And each week, win or loss, you just got to continue to improve. And it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what the cap is or what the ceiling is for this team. I think we haven't really played our best football yet. So hopefully we can continue to evolve and get better in all three phases.
Best of luck.
Appreciate it, man.
Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups next on the Beaver Radio Network.